The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It looks beautiful outside. From inside your house, if you have energy-efficient windows, it looks great. Oh, it's sunshine and bright. It's Friday. Woo, gotta love that. You step outside, ooh, boy, howdy, it's like 20 degrees-ish. So here's something that'll keep you warm. Let's remind you once again, it is Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
This is the great Richie Havens, who would have been 81 today. Passed away back in 2013. This is his take on an old Negro spiritual, "Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child." You want to know the history here? This is recorded at about 5:45 p.m. on August 15th, 1969. This is the very first performance at Woodstock. There aren't even that many people there yet. A few would subsequently show up. So happy birthday, Richie Havens. All righty, 866-660-5759. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, George P. Bush on the Attorney General's campaign trail. I will play a bit of audio for you and for him in which he gives grief to Ken Paxton for suing the school districts who ran afoul of Governor Abbott's mask mandate ban. George P. says he should have taken better advantage of the Texas Disaster Act. It's like, okay, so I'll ask him what might he have done differently, because I think you've noticed that this is my jam. I think you've noticed that in talking to and welcoming all these candidates running for all these offices, let us stipulate, especially Republican primaries, hello, there are awesome things about all of them. Many of them are friends of mine. None of that matters first and foremost. What matters first and foremost is what are the differences between them. And I ask these things and pursue these courses not to to foment discord or create bad blood. We're all going to unify once it's the morning of March 2nd, presuming the election results are on a timely fashion. We all get together, we all pull together, and we all do what we need to do, and that's beat Democrats. But on the pathway there, you know, Attorney General, you got Ken Paxton recovering from his COVID bout. He'll be back on the campaign trail in some number of days. But running against him, George P. and Eva Guzman and Louis Gohmert. And it's like, okay, so what's the difference? What you got to say? What are the things that you would do policy-wise that are different? And what are the things that you have to say about the landscape that tell us, you know, a little something about you and how just sort of what makes you a different kind of cat? So that's my goal. George P. joins us 8:35. Okay. Trump was on Hannity last night. That's pretty well all you need to know. To know that it was talk show gold, and I've got a little bit of that to play. He asked him first, what did you think of that Biden news conference? let me get to that here, in fact, pretty promptly, because the one thing I had teed up ahead of time is Weatherford ISD is closed, shut down for a shut down like the Adele residency in Vegas. And Grapevine Colleyville, second day of the massive Grapevine Colleyville ISD. shut down for COVID. NBC5's Ben Russell is out front of Mustang Panther Stadium on 26.
A bad deal for the district. It's a bad situation for the parents.
Let me back up. Hang on a second. Here we go.
For the second day in a row here, Laura, this is a bad deal for the district. It's a bad situation for the parents, too. Here is the president, the national president of the PTA on school districts dealing with this problem.
So that's a huge concern.
This is a woman named Anna King.
For parents, when our kids are not in school, our parents have to take off of work and stay home to make sure that they're taken care of and they're at least doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. So it is a huge concern right now.
There are concerns all around. Take Grapevine Colleyville ISD, for example, where we are. Nearly 700 students are sick and isolated at home, and they can't get or keep enough warm, healthy, qualified teachers, as we say, in the buildings to teach the kids who are healthy.
Are they dragging people off the street to teach classes in some places? I mean, at one point they said, like staffers, parents. If my life were different, I would totally, if I had the ability to do it, I would love that. That'd be because everybody loves the substitute teacher, right? What's going to happen the day I walk into the room? Guess what, kids? We're going to have some fun, but we're going to do some work. Anyway, though, so first of all, great. All hands on deck is awesome. Just anything to keep these schools open to the degree that they safely can. And therein lies the question, doesn't it? Maybe that's the thing I need to ask you, and we've put our toe in the pool of this, and the answer seems to change. If I'd asked you this 4 months ago, do schools need to be open to achieve a certain level of safety? Of course, please. That is so summer of 20, or so fall of 2020. Of course, you keep schools open. Now, we've got parents who are scared to death of sending their kids to school. Are they too fearful, or are they properly vigilant about about this stupid Omicron that doesn't seem to care about your mask or your vaccine status?
The district needed 169 substitutes on Wednesday and could only get 76 of them. That's led to what we're dealing with now. The head of the National Education Association, the nation's largest teachers union, said during a news conference yesterday that these staffing concerns are a crisis not here, or not just here, but all across the country, and exposed the fact that too many teachers are leaving the profession during the pandemic, not enough young people are entering the profession during the pandemic, and districts are not doing enough to change the minds of either group. Now, in terms of today, the situation with school districts closed, entire school districts closed for the day. We know of at least five. There's Grapevine, Colleyville, where we are here. There's also Lake Worth and the Weatherford Independent School Districts, also Princeton and Campbell ISDs.
All right, there we are. Oh, my goodness gracious me. So I can find parents who it's almost not square one, but we're back in the middle of a mask debate again, too. I thought we were done with this. And I understand why we're not done with it as a debate topic, because I've spoken to and I'm aware of parents who are totally comfortable with schools being open and sending their kids unmasked into a mask-free environment. Happy day, the way it seemed to be some months ago. And now, again, the stupid Omicron thing, where a variant that doesn't care about your mask or your vax status, you can totally still get it. You can totally still give it to people. And I know that my own personal experience, and what do I always tell you, your own personal experience doesn't define all of reality. But in this particular case, mine seems to, Lisa's seems to, Rhonda's seems to, my sister-in-law, her fiance, seem to, and that is we all had it. And it was like a few days of pretty bad, medium to bad cold, and we're done. And that's been the case for a whole lot of people. Now, we're all vaccinated, too. Are there some unvaxxed people having a tougher ride? Yeah. Are all of them having a tougher ride? No. But is there concern, let's just say, that we didn't have 2-3 months ago? Yeah. So schools have no. So if you're running a school district, all right, you're the superintendent. What do you do? Shut that thing down out of an old adage that says I'd rather be overcautious than undercautious, if only for a couple of days? Or do you say, not a whole lot of people, going to the hospital or dying from this. Let's open the schools And then, honestly, maybe doctor's note or parent's note that says, you know what, schools can be open. I think my favorite thing is to have schools open and let the teachers show up who want to show up and let the students show up who want to show up. Of course, that's easy for me to say. How do you find enough substitutes? Because they apparently were having a bit of a tough time in the Grapevine Colleyville ISD finding enough substitutes. The adventure of the fresh school, not the school year is underway, but the fresh 2022 calendar year for the spring semester. 866-660-5759. Your thoughts on this. Welcome. And I'll start to entertain some of those. And we may get to some Trump on Hannity and a number of other things as well. It is Friday. It is the 21st of January. Glad you are here, heading into a big weekend of football that does not contain the Dallas Cowboys. Gee, I wonder why. Because they just didn't play. And if I hear about defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, he was interviewed by the Minnesota Vikings. He was interviewed by the New York Giants. I've got a team that ought to be interviewing Dan Quinn for the head coaching job. It's called the Dallas Cowboys. What do you think about that? And I'm not a McCarthy basher. I don't know. I've sometimes thought he had something in his bag. And is it ultimately his responsibility when we just show up unprepared to play a lesser team like the 49ers, and they are they're good. I'm not sneezing at the 49ers. We had no business losing that game. That was stupid. And but guess what? You know, McCarthy, Dak, Zeke, all are back. And I know I got grumble. But find me an instantly available better coach. Find me an instantly available better quarterback. Find me an instantly available better running back. That might be Tony Pollard. Speaking of Dak, $25,000 fine for his off-the-cuff remark in the news conference. They were throwing bottles. They weren't throwing bottles at us. They were throwing stuff at the referees. Well, credit to them then. Yeah, $25,000 from the league to Dak. Probably got to do that, I guess. 866-660-5759. Let me hop to him. We're in Fort Worth. Dave, welcome. Mark Davis, how are you, and happy Friday.
Hey, Mark, happy Friday. Listen, in Aledo, I can tell you we got an email that said we need substitute teachers, we need cafeteria workers, bus drivers, all that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that these school districts don't want to be open. I think it is a lack of staff from having staff out being sick.
I think it's a great point. I mean, they're not sitting around making an ideological judgment, a value judgment. They're making a pragmatic judgment, a practical judgment call that says, listen, we'd love, especially, please, it's Aledo, for example, Bearcat country. We'd love to be open, but, you know, there's a funny list of things you need in order to be open. It's called teachers, staff, and bus drivers. And if we just ain't got them, what are we supposed to do?
That's right. And look, there is no doubt they work hard and we appreciate them. But at some point, it is a lack of staffing issue for them.
Yeah. All right. Hey, listen, Dave, thank you. God bless. Appreciate it very much. And what about that thing in the Ben Russell story on Channel 5 that is teaching? Is it a profession in crisis? Is that overstated? Is it a profession in flux? Why is that true that we're having a real tough time finding teachers to come into the profession? Why would that be? Pretty awesome gig. I mean, it is hard work, and it's a calling. I don't think anybody wakes up and goes, well, I could be a bricklayer. I could, go to law school. I could be a burger flipper or maybe a teacher. If you want to teach, you want to teach, and it's a calling, and that's what makes it so special. That's what makes teachers heroes to me. The money ain't terrible, so you tell me, why do you think we got a teacher shortage? 824, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, The Answer. Traffic Watch.
Still dealing with this road construction in Fort Worth on southbound I-35W. It's right between Heritage Trace and North Tarrant Parkway, and you've got only the left lane getting by. They're scheduled to have that up until noontime. Right now it's backing you up past Golden Triangle. Had a problem on 35E northbound at Beckley. They've cleared that up. All lanes are getting by. It's still heavy from Loop 12 Ledbetter. Compassion International has a network of over 300 church partners in Haiti, poised to bring critical relief to those suffering because of the current earthquake. Make your $40 gift now by texting the keyword radio to 97646. Now you know what's going on. I'm Michael Scott on 660 AM. The Answer, Traffic Watch.
Mostly sunny skies today with a high of 42. Mostly clear skies, lower 20s tonight. Sunny on Saturday with a high tomorrow near 50. Sunday sunny and highs in the lower 60s. Currently, it is partly cloudy and 19. Mark Davis will continue in a moment right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Larry Elder says playing the race card is complex.
Maxine Waters says Senators Manchin and Sinema don't care about black people because they do not want to get rid of the filibuster, so therefore that means they don't care about black people, even though Democrats in the past have not wanted to get rid of the filibuster. But now, when you don't want to get rid of the filibuster, you don't care about black people. It gets very complicated.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 6, right before Jay Sekulow at 8 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Keep Rhett Miller healthy. Keep the band healthy, please. He's got to see some old 97s at Will Rogers Auditorium tonight. Dance with me. From a fine old 97s record, Blame It on Gravity. All right, Tay, let us roll into news with Gordon Griffin, and then let's make some news as George P. Bush joins us from the Attorney General campaign trail. Good idea or bad idea, suing the big city blue school districts in Texas that have thwarted Governor Abbott's ban on mask mandates. George P. says he might have gone about it a different way, so we'll ask him what that is. Next, Mark Davis, 8:30, here's Gordon. It is 8:36, Friday, January 21, as we cruise into the weekend and into next week. What are we? Are we 6 weeks to the primary now? I think things are going to intensify. Oh, my goodness. We're checking into all the big races, including Attorney General. Pleasure to welcome George P. Bush back to the program. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Nice to be with you. Listen, let's dive right into schools and COVID policy. We got school districts that just can't even operate right now. Maybe they'd love to. We've gone from an era where I think there were some school districts, like the big city ones and the more liberal cities in our state and elsewhere, that kind of wanted to close down. I think now we've got a lot of school districts that want to be open, but they just can't. They're fresh out of substitutes, fresh out of school bus, you know, drivers, fresh out of staff. Is there anything policy wise that a state can do to improve that situation right now?
Well, the state was proactive through the last few legislative sessions to offer teacher salary increases for the first time in probably a generation, which I thought would have gone a long way. But unfortunately, we're seeing activists, policies, and school districts that I think make it tougher for teachers to actually live their lives, raise their own families, and come to work. And so we've seen this in Chicago with the teachers union you may have seen in January decide that they are just going to basically walk out on students. And psychologists and scientific experts, especially in social emotional learning, and I'm old enough to remember when liberals used to be for social emotional learning, show that children are now devastatingly impacted with the utilization of masks and remote learning. And so, you know, a lot of these tactics that are being used by the teachers unions and other parts of the country are now coming to Texas. And I just read an article through the Texas Scorecard that there's now in one school in Katy ISD requirements for both testing and or vaccination for students. And we're seeing that have its impact. Look, at the land office, for what small example, we do manage veterans homes. And because of the Biden executive order, it is impossible to find nurses that comply with the order and will work for us in rural Texas, suburban, urban. It's going to be a challenge in teaching, healthcare, and really precisely the wrong time. This president has decided executive orders are best.
What you've properly described in a wonderful snapshot is the tug of war. I mean, in a perfect world, you could say, look, let's say we want to get people vaccinated, especially in a healthcare environment, but you'll find some people that don't want to. And then you find, okay, well, what should we do? Should we mandate it from government or leave it up to the individual? If you mandate it from government, we have people quitting their jobs on that. And so you end up with staffing difficulties, and it's no different different in schools. When Governor Abbott put down the ban on mask mandates, essentially telling schools you can't have a mask mandate, were you surprised when a bunch of big city schools essentially like flipped in the bird and said, guess what? We're having a mandate anyway.
Absolutely not. I thought that, you know, when you look at the big four, so to speak, you know, Dallas, Harris County, Bear, and Travis, you know, it's pretty predictable that they would do that just because they've decided they know what's best for Texas families and parents and teachers and most importantly, students. And the timing of their suits that they brought against the governor were also very circumspect. And, you know, as a parent of two, I follow all the timelines pretty closely. Those suits mostly came the week of, if not, you know, the week before school was meant to start. So, you know, it's really disappointing to see. And what's left behind are teachers and students. In my opinion, a lot of these decisions should be just a basic healthcare decision made by the parent. We're seeing that not only in the curriculum discussion on critical race theory and woke culturism in the classroom and indoctrination, but now we're seeing it with basic healthcare decisions, whether it's vaccination or testing requirements that we're hearing about in KDISD and now forced mask wearing.
George P. Bush is here on the Attorney General's campaign trail, and it has been a lawsuit tug of war. Abbott suing people, the state suing people, folks suing the state, et cetera, et cetera. Let me give you just about 20 seconds of audio. There was a Attorney General's forum, you and Louis and Eva Guzman in Belton down by Waco, and a TV guy got a hold of you and asked about the notion of, and I guess, Paxton's lawsuits against those school districts that went rogue.
That's where Ken Paxton has been sleeping at the wheel, because as an attorney general, he should have been looking at the Texas Disaster Act and defining the governor's abilities to make policy in the middle of crisis. This attorney general decided to sue school districts who are now having to come out of their pocket to defend themselves against their own state.
So was it a bad idea for Paxton to sue those school districts that went rogue?
Absolutely not. What I take issue with, though, and people forget that the attorney general's, one of his core functions is writing what is known are legal opinions. And legal opinions he could have drafted to support the governor's executive order, which was in May of 21. So, you know, as I mentioned before, as we get closer to the beginning of school year, he had several months to draft a legal opinion for rural school districts, because people forget that outside those big four that I talked about, Dallas, Harris, Bear, and Travis, most of them have a very small staff and don't understand how to execute the rules and what the governor's authority is. The attorney general, one of the core functions is drafting a legal opinion to clarify what the governor can do under the Texas Disaster Act, so that if a crazy liberal progressive mayor or judge says, you know what, I'm going to impose mask mandates, the DA or the county attorney can say, no, here's the AG's legal opinion. Ken Paxton did not draft a legal opinion providing that clarity. So instead of being proactive, which is what I would have done differently, knowing that the governor was very clear in May of 21 heading into the new academic year and that you're going to have progressive mayors push it and reverse directives of freedom, the AG's office needs to back the governor.
Right. And so I guess I was just confused by the usage there in Belton where it, in fact, let me just hang on.
Ken Paxton has been sleeping at the wheel, because as an attorney general, he should have been looking at the Texas Disaster Act and defining the governor's abilities to make policy in the middle of crisis. This attorney general decided to sue school districts who are now having to come out of their pocket to defend themselves against their own state.
That sounds like criticism of the lawsuits. I mean, it just does.
Yeah. Well, to just clarify, my criticism is not necessarily suing big school districts, and we should, especially when people are trying to reverse directives of freedom. But as attorney general, what you're supposed to as a good lawyer is to clarify to the people of Texas that the governor is in the right and that he does have the authority to reverse mask mandates. And Ken Paxton did not do that. Is suing lawsuits a mechanism available to the AG and bringing suits against school districts? Absolutely. But a proactive attorney general would have clarified the law, removed any ambiguity of the governor's ability to do it, and move forward. And I think you would have seen a reduction of a lot of lawsuits, because when I travel throughout rural Texas, I'm actually in the Rio Grande Valley today. A lot of them say, look, I just didn't know who is in the right here? Is it the county judge or is it the governor legally? And most poor rural school districts just want to stay out of the courthouse. That's all I'm saying. He was absolutely right to take on liberal activists, judges, mayors that are imposing these mask mandates. It's just there's this 5 month spread between May and basically the beginning of school, 4 months, let's call it, that he could have been more proactive with his office to provide that clarity.
If you're in the Rio Grande Valley, we'd best talk about some borders. Let's do it in 60 seconds after one more thing. Let's do, in fact, because, Ken's described this to me. I had a basic grasp of it. Let me get what your version of the same paragraph. What is it? Because if somebody's on the phone like right now, driving around saying, what exactly is it that gives the governor the right to tell a school district what its mask policy can be?
So the Texas Disaster Act was drafted in 1974 and basically contemplated most of your disasters in Texas, which were tornadoes, you know, hurricanes at the time. And there's arguments as to whether or not the legislators at the time contemplated, say, the Spanish flu of the earlier 20th century or pandemic policy. Obviously, things have changed dramatically under COVID-19. I'm personally of the opinion that there needs to be a clear voice and executive authority, not limitless authority, because as we know, the legislature only convenes, you know, once every other year for 5 months. I do agree with the legislative attempts this past session to put some sort of time cap. And I think that discussion is ongoing in terms of how long the governor can renew executive orders. But you need a strong, conservative executive voice that can call these decisions and make orders that that provide freedom to parents and children. Look, there's a recent legal opinion that was drafted by a district court in Louisiana with respect to vaccine requirements. And I think he says it best by saying it's during times of crisis that we are supposed to admire, to hold, to cherish the values of the Constitution more than ever. We can't throw out freedom and personal liberties during times of crisis. And unfortunately, liberals in Texas and throughout the country, for that matter, have abused that, and it's really a shame. So it's up to the next AG to be that last line.
I think that was 60 seconds of a thoroughly coherent explanation of why the governor has. Yeah, so I'm throwing you props for that. My next question is, do you think for a minute that if we put that on an endless loop, that the school boards in Dallas and Harris and Bear and Travis would have gone, oh, that's such a good explanation, we're not going to do mask mandates after all?
Well, no, I think it's clear that you have politicians on the other side that have decided to abuse their authorities and their office, and that's where the AG needs to step in the courthouse. And it requires informing the public as to, you know, their own constituents as to what their politicians are up to. I have experiences in doing that, especially on Hurricane Harvey, where it turns out that a liberal mayor was trying to put his hand in the cookie jar by handing contracts over to his old law firm with federal taxpayer dollars. It's those types of situations, and voting fraud for that matter here in Texas. You know, this has come up on the debate forum and the campaign trail. We had three debates this weekend, and I wish Ken would be a part of it. But talking about how the Court of Criminal Appeals has stripped the last remaining original jurisdictional authority for the AG to prosecute voting fraud, which conservatives tell me is probably a top three issue heading into this cycle. So, you know, those types of situations. And now Henry Cuellar is under FBI investigation. I'm calling you from the Valley here in South Texas. There's a culture of corruption, regretfully, at the local and county level, and AG is going to have to take that on.
Well, you're down there, and obviously that's, you know, right in proximity to the border. Let's talk. Obviously, everybody running for AG wants to be king or queen of the borders, as the case may be. The thing I wanted to ask you about is, because I'm always looking for who has something that seems a little different. Tell me about the mobile prosecution unit. I think I saw that in an article where you're just trying to move a little more lightly on our feet, a little more dexterity in terms of prosecuting lawbreaking that's border related.
So, Mark, I think you're going to be one of the first to know, because I'm actually about to do a rally, but then we're going to visit with Border Patrol. But I got some intel last night that there's a new caravan of 1,800 Hondurans underneath the International Bridge in Eagle Pass. So, you know, this is not stopping anytime soon. What I've been putting out there in the campaign trail as AG, and what I would have done throughout 2021, is to set up an MPU, a mobile prosecution unit, to, on a concurrent jurisdictional basis, help county DAs and sheriffs prosecute illegals under criminal trespassing claims. So, you know, the Supreme Court's been clear, states can't enforce federal immigration law. But what we can do is be more proactive, support the governor's Operation Lone Star initiative, which is arresting, among other things, arresting illegals under state trespassing laws. But they need additional legal support. They also need lawyers to help sign affidavits with private ranchers, landowners that are at or near border areas that are tired of it, and they want some help. And this would help expedite the processing of criminal trespassing claims. I'll just say this as well, that we've had to let go thousands of illegals, regretfully, under this plan, because there isn't enough legal support to process these. You can't indefinitely hold even illegals under criminal trespassing claims. So one of my big proposals is to forward deploy whatever we can down to the border on a rotating basis, similar to what you're seeing with DPS, to better support the governor's initiative here to do what Texas can, because the federal government's not going to do it.
Where'd you hear about these 1,800 folks under the bridge at Eagle Pass?
I've been endorsed by the National Border Patrol Council, and last night we held a rally. Where were we? In Mission, Texas. And there's an agent there that has some friends over there in Eagle Pass. And so it's just a constant reminder that, you know, right now it's about 33 here in McAllen, so it's Armageddon here in the valley. They're not accustomed to freezing weather.
Exactly.
But even in freezing weather, migrants are going to come because the loophole is there.
Sure.
And it's a tragedy because, you know, our agents are constantly working while you and I open our Christmas presents. They were keeping the watch, and they need a president to have their back. They're thankful that, you know, the state of Texas does have their back. But a lot of local law enforcement, however, are seeing a lot of repeat offenders, spike in violent crime. Was just with the Brownsville Police Association. And we just need to have a better sense of urgency when it comes to the consequences of this human trafficking, the increase in fentanyl. Just reported, about 2 months ago that fentanyl now is contributing to one of the largest causes of death in our country, with over 100,000 overdoses of toxic cocktails that utilize fentanyl, which is now coming across our border.
I have long been a student of campaign ads. I could almost be a professor of campaign ads, and I saw one of yours yesterday, and every frame, every second means something. And you mentioned completing the Trump wall, so the president is name dropped, and also the current former president's name dropped, so is the current one, offering yourself up as the guy with to meet the necessity of fighting the Biden and Kamala Harris scourge. It seems like part of your job here in the primary season is you've got competition and the incumbent you're trying to unseat, and the other alternatives in Eva and Louie that you're trying to compete against. But also, ultimately, it's kind of a big picture thing that says, if you're looking to fight Biden and Harris, I'm your guy. Do I have that sort of campaign strategy index card right?
That's right. Yeah. In terms of my border positions, I think they're reflected by, you know, the law enforcement support that we're getting, the National Border Patrol Union, the 19,000 agents that keep the watch, as well as a lot of law enforcement leaders, county sheriffs and constables, along with police associations. We're close to Brownsville Police Association, for what it's worth. But, you know, fighting federal overreach, but also punching down against mayors and activist judges. I'm really excited with the message that we're getting and the momentum that we're building. We're doing a Texas First tour. It's a 31-stop tour throughout the state of Texas until March 1, we're in the Valley. We'll be in West Texas next week, along with San Antonio and other parts of South Texas. We'll hit the Metroplex very soon. Looking forward to the Right to Life rally tomorrow on the steps of the Capitol. That's always so inspiring, especially this year when it could be my generation, our generation, that abolishes abortion in our lifetime. So there's a lot at stake in this race. So goes Texas, so goes the country. But, I'm offering myself service, my ideas, and I look forward to engaging with the grassroots in the next few weeks.
Website is georgepbush.com, George P. Bush on Twitter. Safety and health on the campaign trail, sir. I know we'll be talking in the coming 6-plus weeks. So I look forward to that. I appreciate your time, as always, today.
God bless.
Thank you. That's George P. Bush. Mark Davis, 854. Kind of low-hanging fruit, isn't it? The Eagles from their classic 1974 title track from On the Border. To take us out and into the 9 o'clock news, So 866-660-5759. You know what the 9 o'clock hour is? You and me, baby. I got a bunch of stuff I haven't even gotten to. Trump on Hannity last night, stuff in your head, things in mine. We'll just jumble them all together, make a delicious talk show salad. Talk show soup, whatever you like. 866-660-5759. I'm clearly hungry. I'm thinking about food. It's coming up on 9 o'clock. Stick around.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.